WMDX Columbus, Madison's home for real news and great conversation. A Civic Media Station.
ABC News, I'm Stephanie Officer. Former U.S. Senator Bob Menendez is set to report to federal prison Tuesday to begin serving an 11-year sentence for accepting bribes of gold and cash and acting as an agent of Egypt. Menendez's lawyers say he is expected to be housed at a facility in eastern Pennsylvania that has both a medium security prison and a minimum security prison camp. A New York soccer coach says he's thankful to be alive after having a cardiac event mid-match. Earlier this month, Andrew Philblad's team, the Southern Tier Football Club, was playing a team from Wilson, New York. He says he doubled over on the field. The next thing he knew, he was on the ground. The opposing team's coach, Paul Herman, and other spectators rushed into the high school where they were playing and grabbed an AED. Herman recalls those moments.
I realized real quickly, you know, he's in a really bad place. That's when I was like screaming across to, you know, other people to help me.
This is ABC News. One of two doctors accused of supplying ketamine to Matthew Perry, who eventually died from an overdose in 2023, is expected to plead guilty to counts of illegal distribution of ketamine.
Dr. Salvador Plasencia was one of two defendants in the Matthew Perry death case who had not yet agreed to plead guilty. Plasencia ran a health clinic and allegedly was supplying Perry with ketamine for $2,000 a vial that cost him $12 a vial, even allegedly texting another doctor he wondered how much this moron will pay. He has not yet formally entered the plea. That will come likely in a few weeks. Plasencia could get a maximum of 40 years in prison. Alex Stone, ABC News, Los Angeles.
A proposal before the California state legislature would require all law enforcement to show their face and be identifiable by their uniform while conducting official business. The bill exempts some groups, including SWAT teams and officers responding to natural disasters. I'm Stephanie Officer, ABC News.
I'm Tony Goldwyn. As an actor and a director, I attend a lot of screenings, but there's one that's different. It's important, and it could save your life. A lung cancer screening. You know, I lost my mom to lung cancer when she was just 68 years old. Screenings help diagnose lung cancer early when it's most treatable, even curable. A quick low-dose CT scan is all it takes. GoTo for lung cancer is your go-to. Visit goto.org.
The John and Gordy Show.
Mike McCabe joins us, by the way.
Yes, Mike, you know about the Savannah Bananas.
Yeah.
The announcer calls them the Nanners.
They have all kinds of antics.
They have bright yellow uniforms.
Yes, they do.
And they do performance dances at home base.
Or the in the field.
The players are out there like cheerleaders.
Yeah. And even the umpires get involved.
Yeah, they do.
Weekday morning, 6 till 8 on 92.7 WMDX and the Civic Media app. Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
Brewers in Chicago. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports, where the Brewers begin a three-game series tonight at Wrigley Field against the first-place team, the Chicago Cubs, led by manager Craig Counsell. Although the Brewers were able to slip into second place after beating the Cards 3 out of 4 games, Pat Murphy says there's still room for growth.
We're still young. We're still figuring out. We're not like the Cardinals or the Cubs or the Reds. They got a set kind of 10 or 12 guys they go with. We're still figuring things out. You know, this is a group. They're the right dudes. You know what I mean? And that's why they play to win.
College football, the Badgers excited about 6'1" receiver Zion Legree out of Florida agreeing to commit to Wisconsin next year. Receivers coach Jordan Reed asked if his guys are anxious to return after going 5-7 last season.
It's a hungry room for that reason alone. Everybody feels they got something to prove. Everybody feels. And really, we're taking it as a room mentality. Like, we got everything to prove this year.
That's the Badgers receivers coach Jordan Reed with sports on Mike Clemens.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price for the overnight. Mostly cloudy skies. A shower or storm can't be ruled out. Upper 60s for lows with light south winds. Tuesday, a mix of clouds and sunshine, highs in the mid-80s. There will be a chance of showers and storms in the late day with more storms Tuesday night. It's 69 at our studios.
Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, Madison film critic Rob Thomas joins me for some movie talk, and then Milwaukee Journal Sentinel music writer Piet Levy joins me to talk Summerfest. Let's light it up.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 till 8.
Mommy, can I sit in the front seat just this one time? Please, please, please.
No, not yet.
But why?
Because I love you, and you're just not ready yet. Now, get in the back so I can get you in your car seat, please.
Putting your kids in the right seat for their age and size is an act of love. Check that your kids are in the right seat at NHTSA.gov/the right seat. Love protects. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Mark Sommerhauser, the communications director for the Wisconsin Policy Forum, analyzing the impacts of the big brutal bill.
That number that you mentioned of nearly $15,000 per person, literally about a quarter of the state's economy.
Basically a quarter of the state's economy coming from the federal government. I'm not hearing from Republicans in the state in their biennial budget planning any sort of contingency plan for major disruption in federal funding coming into the state.
The award-winning Maggie Dawn Show at its new time, weekdays 4 till 6 p.m.
A new choice. Madison's Real News and Great Conversation, 92.7 WMDX.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
Broadcasting live from the Civic Media Studios in Green Bay, this is Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, your inside source on everything entertainment from Wisconsin to Hollywood. And now, a guy who always reads between the lines until he sees a car coming, Pete Schwabba.
I forgot about that one. Hey, welcome to Nightlight, everybody. All these bumpers are true, folks. That is me in a nutshell. I wear my heart on my sleeve. If I'm joking about something, it's usually true. I have read many books on the highway. Great to have you here. It is finally Monday, ladies and gentlemen. We are back at it, and it is great to be back in the air talking about the things we love in life, like movies and TV and comedy and theater and all kinds of fun stuff, some sports. We've got a big rivalry happening this week, Conrad. I thought I would get your thoughts on that. We've got some Cubs-Brewers happening.
Yeah. I'm excited to see if the Brewers can pull it off.
Think they can?
Yeah. I think we're only about like four games back now, so maybe even less. But
here's what I'm a Cub fan, but I'm trying to be unbiased here. And usually when I'm like that, I'm coming down against my team because that's usually the way it goes. But the Brewers were red hot lately, and the Cubs withstood it and kept the lead. Like, they're playing great baseball. The Cubs are for real, and I feel like the Brewers are for real. And I feel like it's going to come down to those two teams.
Yeah, it's looking like it. You know, the Cubs, I didn't expect them to be this hot this year, to be honest.
Yeah, same.
They surprised me.
It surprised me, too. But it's great when there's a good rivalry between the Bears and the Packers, the Cubs and the Brewers, to a lesser degree, the Bucks and the Bulls. I don't think people are quite as passionate about that rivalry.
Well, the Bulls, you know, they need some.
Oh, God, I hope the Cubs wipe the field with your Brewers this week if you're going to talk like that, young buck. The Bulls have been pretty bad. But even when they were, that's not the same as, I don't think, as the Bears and the Packers.
Oh, no.
Or the Cubs and the Brewers. But that's not to say it couldn't be. But we'll see what happens. Some fun stuff going on this week. We've got a great show tonight, ladies and gentlemen. Sherry Stoka is here. She is a nutritionist and dietitian from Wellness MD. That is just outside of the Milwaukee area. Sherry's been on the show before, and I love picking her brain about all things health and nutrition and all that kind of stuff. So I think last time we got a couple texts for Sherry. So if you have nutritious questions or dietary questions, I think she had a lot of fun answering those last time. So share those with us, if you would, at 6:35. Conrad, you got any questions for Sherry? Anything
on
your mind?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Yeah, let's we'll do that. That's at 6:35. We're going to talk a little bit about Ozempic, which she called it by the clinical name of GLP-1. I had never heard that. So, and then we'll talk about a lot of other stuff. Sherry's a great guest coming up in about a half an hour, and then a new guest. I'm always excited when we have new people on the show. Phil Krause will be here. Phil owns the Time Community Theater in Oshkosh. And we talked, I think it was Friday, we gave a shout out to Phil. He was showing The Magnificent Seven last night on Father's Day, the 2016 version. And they do some really cool stuff at the Time Community Theater. We'll talk to Phil about that. I think independent movie theaters are a treasure, especially when they do other things like not just host movies, but host different events too. And we need to do whatever we can, folks, to help these independent movie theaters, because I think the people that own them, it's a kind of a passionate thing, and they're very into what they do, but they need the help and I think the support of the community. I know nothing. You know, Time Theater, he could be pulling in $10 million a year. I have no idea. I'm just saying in general, I would love it if we could all come together and support independent movie theaters. So that's our show for tonight regarding guests. We've got a great question. We're going to talk a little bit about, feel free to share your Father's Day events with us if you had a good day. The phone lines are open. The text line is open, 855-752-4842. Man, I don't know where do we even start, Conrad. We got a lot to get to tonight, don't we?
Well, why don't we start with the question of the night?
I couldn't have said it better myself.
Let's talk about the question.
Okay, question.
Question. Question.
Pregunta.
Question.
Question.
Hey, I have a question.
Questions.
This question.
Domanda.
Question.
Question.
Questions.
Who is the best on-screen couple? Movies or TV, folks? Who do you like? I was kind of thinking about this earlier. I'm kind of like, I don't dislike rom-coms, but I don't seek them out. But I will say there was a very rom-com-y element to the show 1923, and I loved the relationship between Brandon Sklenar's character, who was a Dutton. And I've said this before on the show, Yellowstone, I got really bored with really quick, maybe sometime in season two. But I did like both prequels. I liked 1883 with Tim McGraw and Faith Hill, and then I like the 1923, two seasons of that with Harrison Ford and Helen Mirren, and this Brandon Sklenar, who played a Dutton nephew. And he gets married in season two. And I've never really liked watching romances develop on screen. There are some good ones. Maybe you think Titanic with Leo DiCaprio and Kate Winslet, or Grease with Danny Zuko and Olivia Newton-John. Speaking of Olivia Newton-John, Paul Blart and his fellow mall employee. You got Ross and Rachel, Sam and Diane. There's all kinds of couples that have graced the big and little screen. So who is your favorite? I'm going to say 1923. I really liked that storyline. It was fun to kind of watch this couple fall in love. And I don't say that very often. So I really enjoy that. I thought they were, Brandon Sklenar's character was kind of this strong, silent type. He's sort of the hero. And then the woman he ended up marrying, whose fate did not turn out very well. I think her name was Julia Schlepfer. I don't know if I'm saying her last name right, but they were fun. They were a fun couple to watch. So let us know who your favorite on-screen couple is. Big or little screen, TV or film, 855-752-4842. 855-75-CIVIC, baby. You can text us on the app as well, or on the, if you're watching the radio on the stream, that's fine too, at YouTube, Facebook, or X, Twix, X Twitter, whatever you want to call it. Would love to hear your thoughts, and we will read your text on the radio. Con, you got someone?
Yeah. I'm thinking Jaime Lannister and Cersei Lannister.
The Lannisters. Oh, they're a functional couple.
I'm just kidding. That's probably Thrones, the right? Worst one.
Wait, which one? Jaime Lannister was...
their brother and sister.
I thought, oh, so she took his name or what? I didn't know what. Okay.
Yeah, that was a bad one from Game of Thrones.
Look, they're very compatible. Don't judge. You know what? This is the 19...
I will say, you probably know where I'm going to go with this.
Lay it on me.
How I Met Your Mother.
I knew you were going to say that.
Lily Pad and Marshmallow.
I don't even know their nicknames. I really don't know that show. I got to check it out.
It's Lily and Marshall, yeah.
That's what they see, the marshmallow thing. That's kind of stomach turning.
Lily Pad? You like that
Lily
one?
Lily Pad Marshmallow? I like Lily Pad better than Marshmallow. God, if I was like a dude and somebody started calling me Marshmallow, I don't think I'd like that very much.
Well, he's kind of a big kind of.
Is that Jason Segel's character?
Yeah.
Okay.
Husky guy?
Yeah. He could probably pull it off.
But he's like 7 foot.
He's just a big teddy bear, though, apparently.
Yeah.
A little soft on the inside.
You know, I really like their development with their, because the first episode, it's Jason Segel's character proposing.
Right. Okay.
And, you know, they just go through a lot of adversity through the whole show. It's all 9 seasons.
It's funny because I love Cheers. I'm kind of in, that's, Cheers is like my go-to show when I'm laying in bed at night and I want to laugh before I go to sleep. And Sam and Diane are so volatile and contentious. That's typically the kind of couple I like to watch. I don't know what that says about me. You know, my wife and I are pretty emotional people. We have our arguments, but we had an argue jar at one point. Throw a dollar into a jar when you argue.
Okay.
By the end of the year, had enough to vacation in Hawaii for 3 weeks. No, but I don't mind that. I think watching people arguing is funny. And George Costanza and anybody he dated loved all that stuff with all his neuroses. But I would say 1923, Brandon and Alexandra, the Dutton, and what was her name on the show? I got to find this out now. She was just Alexandra and he was Spencer Dutton. Right. Okay. Conrad says, How I Met Your Mother. No surprise there. What do you say? 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. Man, I'm getting more and more distracted by people that walk by the window here.
Gelato?
And I want to wave. I don't know if it's gelato or if it's just downtown Green Bay in the summertime, but it's sort of like, it's kind of hopping. It's better than in the winter.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you know, not a lot of people want to go for a walk in the winter.
Certainly not down here. So how was your, I have to ask you, because you did you went to a comedy show.
I did, yeah.
A very filthy comedian.
Yes. I can't repeat anything he said.
It would just be bleeps.
Yep.
Wow, that's kind of impressive.
You know, you never know what he was going to, because I've went to his shows before, and every time I'm like, I wonder if he's going to reuse something.
Yeah.
He didn't reuse one thing.
That's pretty impressive.
From his last show. And the last show I saw him was like 2 years ago now. He also put out 2 specials on YouTube between that time, and he didn't use any of those jokes he used in that special either.
And I'd say let's play a clip, but it doesn't sound like we could even pull it off here on
live. I would radio. Have to do a lot of bleeping.
Just play a bleep and we'll get an idea
of
his potty mouth. How long did he do? How long was he on stage?
So it was about 50 minutes, I think.
50?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
It was opening act?
There was a 15-minute opener. Which he was pretty funny. He's pretty good.
Those are the sweet spots, man. I used to love opening because, like, when you open at a theater, like I opened for Huey Lewis in the News in Myrtle Beach, and it's just such a sweet gig. It's like good money, and you know, you don't have to do that long either. And the crowd is there, like they paid big money to be there. They're ready to laugh. You get no jackasses or no hecklers. Typically, I mean, unless you really suck, you probably would get that. But
this one says that we don't do any heckling at all, or you'll be thrown out.
Where was it?
It was the Improv in Brookfield.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Okay.
And the big thing that they made a joke about it was that it's in a strip mall. And they kept talking about that it's in a strip mall in Brookfield.
Okay.
And I'm surprised anyone showed up.
Well, that sounds like fun. I had a good Father's Day. Did you talk to your dad yesterday?
Well, my dad was back in town. Yeah.
He's in Wisconsin. That's right.
Well, he's I believe he's on a flight right now.
Back to Flo? Back to Fla?
Yeah, yeah. Okay. So, yeah, we went out to dinner.
It's nice that he came to you on Father's Day.
Actually, I went to Appleton, and then because he was staying at my brother's house.
Okay, just your dad or your mom too?
Just my dad.
Nice.
My dad came back to check up on grandma. So.
Oh, sweet.
Yeah,
yeah. It was a good day. I like to do nothing on those days. I don't like to make decisions. I don't like to really be talked too much. Like to play video poker, maybe watch a movie, take a walk, play some soccer, golf. But we did go to my folks for dinner, and I was glad the Cubs won yesterday, so my dad was happy because he gets really. This is what my dad did, and he's done this a couple times more recently. He's like, Pete, because I watched the last 3 innings of the Cub game with him, and it ended in a tie. So I'm like, well, I gotta go, you know. So I go back later, and he says, oh, the Cubs pulled it out in the 10th. Pull up the highlights. So as I pull up the highlights on my phone to put it to their TV, he tells me play by play what happened. I'm like, Dad, I got the highlights right here.
I want to watch it.
I wanted to watch it, but he was excited. So it was a good Father's Day all around. Spent some time with my daughter. She got me some nice gifts. Lots of fun. So I hope all the dads out there had a great day. We are doing it Monday style here at Nightlight, folks. We are broadcasting live from downtown Green Bay, all over the beautiful state of Wisconsin on what is finally a warm day here. Hope you're having a great day. And we are coming back with maybe some Bill Burr. What else did I say we might play?
Well, whose birthday is it? Laurie Metcalf.
Laurie Metcalf. Oh, we got a funny clip from her. And we'll read your text. That's all coming up next on Nightlight with Pete Schwalbe on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Welcome to Madison's Real News and Great Conversation, 92.7 WMDX.
A game without a crowd is just a scrimmage. A performance without an audience is just a rehearsal. Without your presence, high school sports and the performing arts aren't possible. Ensure that these essential extracurricular activities continue to enrich the lives of students in Wisconsin. Purchase a ticket to your local high school's game or performance.
This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
Here's the deal. We gotta set ourselves up. See, retirement is the long game. We gotta make moves and make them early. Set up goals. Don't worry about a setback. Just save up and stack up to reach them. Let's put ourselves in the right position. Pre-game to greater things.
Start building your retirement plan at thisispretirement.org. Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
The John and Gordy Show.
Mike McCabe joins us, by the way.
Yes, Mike, you know about the Savannah Bananas.
Yeah.
The announcer calls them the Nanners.
They have all kinds of antics.
They have,
I mean, it's
they have
great.
Bright yellow uniforms.
Yes, they do.
And they do performance dances at home base.
Or
the
in the
players
field.
Are out there like cheerleaders.
Yeah. And even the umpires get involved.
Yeah, they do.
Weekday mornings, 6 till 8 on 92.7 WMDX and the Civic Media app. Nightlight with Pete Schwalbe.
Todd Michaels joins us now.
I have to give a shout out to Oshkosh. It's a very underrated city.
There was also a restaurant there I really liked. I don't think it's there anymore.
Yeah, Vitaly's was great. I may have gone to like a prom dinner there or something like that back in my day too, Pete.
A little calzone before you tear it up in the dance floor.
Man, there's nothing better than wearing a tuxedo and a little calzone in your cummerbund.
Nightlight with Pete Schwalbe. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Small businesses are the heart of America. As the nation's largest nonprofit resource of expert business mentoring, SCORE has helped millions of entrepreneurs build their businesses. For free, find a mentor today at score.org.
Download the Civic Media app in the Google Play or Apple App Store and take us everywhere. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
This is Nightlight with Pete Schwalbe. I am Pete Schwalbe. It's great to have you here on a Monday, folks. We've got great guests tonight. A really fun question. Who's your favorite on-screen couple? Movies or TV, it doesn't matter. You can share either one. I said Spencer Dutton and Alexandra from 1923, mostly because it's just current. There's been, obviously, over the course of Hollywood, there have been some incredible movie couples, Bogie and Bacall. You can go back if you want to go back a ways. I said Sam and Diane were fun to watch just because they argued so much. Conrad said the couple from How I Met Your Mother. But let us know what you think. We got our social media responses here. Did you see Rich Tallarico's response?
What was it?
His favorite movie couple or TV couple is Dolly Parton.
Just Dolly Parton. All right.
Well, use your imagination. Brilliant. Thank you, Rich. Matt Harper says, Timothy Oliphant as Raylan Givens and Natalie's. Oh, yeah. Raylan Givens and Winona Hawkins. Oh, I got to look. Raylan Givens is a great character. I love Justified, and I'm totally due for a rewatch. But I'm trying to remember if Winona Hawkins was his ex-girlfriend or his ex-wife. He had like two main love interests. That is such a good show. And Walton Goggins was on that show, too. I think it's Natalie Zea. I don't know if I'm saying that right. But she was great. And he had an ex-wife who I thought was really good, too. But great show and great text. Thank you, Matt. Monica Hale says, Kurt Russell and Goldie Hawn on and off screen. Okay, that works. Boy, they've been together a long time. Like kind of like Paul Newman and Joanne Woodward. Maybe we'll do an off-screen couple next time. That could be fun. So our question is, who is your favorite on or off-screen couple? Let us know. 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. We are going to read some text now, and then we'll get to a funny clip I found. Anna from Madison. She's in the 608, obviously. She says, hi, Pete and Conrad. My favorite on-screen couple is Robert Redford and Barbara Streisand in The Way We Were. Yeah, they were a good one. That's a great one, Anna. I like the classic stuff, too. Like, the Hollywood classics are great, too. Travis in Eau Claire, he's in the, or dialing us from the 618 or texting us, says, since you already said Marshall and Lily, I also really liked Ted and the mother. I was so bummed by the ending. I don't think they should have killed her. What? Spoiler alert. What well, happened there, Conrad?
Well, she got a disease, and her name's Tracy McConnell.
On a sitcom?
Yeah, and as she was played by Kristen Melody, I believe that's how you say her name.
Okay.
Yeah, it's, I mean, that's one of the reasons though, where people are like, man, the ending just sucks to that show.
I do remember hearing that.
And then the whole thing is pretty much like him asking his kids, like, can I date your Aunt Robin?
Yeah, well, he gets together with his sister.
Well, it's, you know, it's like one of those friendships where they call, you know, his friends like aunt or uncle, you know.
Okay.
They're not actually related. But...
Interesting. All right.
I agree. They were a good couple though.
Yeah. All right. Very good. Thank you, Travis. Tyler from Wisconsin Rapids says, who does Tyler say? I think his text got kind of mixed up there, so I'll come back to that one. Tom in New Berlin says, Pete, if it comes down to Brewers Cubs, what a joy both cities share so much. I agree, Tom. It is weird that we have, we're not the same state, but, you know, like I grew up, all my mom's relatives were in Milwaukee, so I went to a ton of Brewers games. And my grandparents lived there. My parents met at Marquette. And then my dad's family was raised in Chicago. So I'm kind of with you, Tom. I don't get the vitriol sometimes. It's a fun rivalry, but some people take it too far. I think it's just kind of fun. Tyler from Wisconsin Rapids says, Moonlighting's Cybill Shepherd and Bruce. He said, Bruce, what's his name? You couldn't remember Bruce Willis? He did correct himself with another text. But that's a good one. Moonlighting was a fun show. Ed in Madison says, Beatrix Kiddo and Bill, Kill Bill. I don't remember the names, but I remember the movies very well. Love it, Ed. Thank you. What did you say?
So on the social media, Monica Hale actually changed her mind.
Who did?
Monica Hale.
Oh, what did she say?
Instead of Kurt Russell and Goldie Hawn, she said, I'd like to change mine to Miran Loy and William Powell in the Thin Man movie.
Oh, I have not seen those.
I haven't either.
It sounds kind of morbid, though, right? Is The Thin Man a horror a film?
If it is, then that's definitely why I haven't seen it.
Oh, Monica, you need help. Totally kidding. Thank you for the text, Monica. Let's Google that, Con, and find and find that out, because I want to kind of. I always like to know what the textures are talking about if I'm not clued in, which oftentimes I am not. Anna from Madison says, "Hi, Pete and Conrad." Oh, we already read that one. Jim from Appleton says, "Let's hop into the TARDIS." And visit the best, sometimes contentious couple, Desi and Lucy's. And Desi and Lucy, you got some splaining to do. Let's hop into the TARDIS. Was that their last name? Conrad says, the character from the movie and book series Thin Man, the internet meme, urban legend, inspired by the character and the term used in the Supernatural episode Thin Man. So it is a kind of a horror.
It says it's 1934 is when the movie was.
How do I not know about this? I gotta do a little
Detective
research.
Nick Charles and his wealthy wife, Nora, investigate a murder case, mostly for the fun of it.
Nice. Like heart to heart. Monica, I will look more into this. Thank you for keeping me honest. Jack from Merrimack says, best on-screen couple, George and Gracie Burns, if you're too young to know whom I'm talking about, with second place, Fred and Ginger. I'm a really old guy. Jack from Merrimack. That's right, Jack. It's good. People should stretch their boundaries a little bit. Look up some of those classic Hollywood couples. They're fun. Mark from Prairie du Sac says, TV Chuck, Chuck and Sarah, movie Just Like Heaven, David and Lizzie. TV Chuck? I don't know TV Chuck. Did you watch that, Con?
No.
Thank you, Mark. All right, keep those texts coming, folks. This is a fun question tonight. We will come back very shortly after the news. we're going to be here, and we'll be joined by dietitian and nutritionist, our pal Sherry Stoka, will join us over the stream. She'll answer some questions if you have them, and we're going to talk a little bit about the Ozempic craze. Can I take it just for one leg?
I don't know. Probably not.
Asking you. Dave on the stream says, Dave Kunish reposted this stream. I don't understand that.
He reposted it.
Reposted what?
The stream.
I don't get it.
So it goes to his friends.
Oh, fantastic. Yeah. Love it. Thank you, Dave. All right, we're coming right back. It's Peach Wabba and Nightlight. Sounds so pure, salvation means.
Tell me, can you feel it? Tom Hartman here. You're listening to 92.7 WMDX.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
ABC News, I'm Stephanie Officer. Former U.S. Senator Bob Menendez is set to report to federal prison Tuesday to begin serving an 11-year sentence for accepting bribes of gold and cash and acting as an agent of Egypt. Menendez's lawyers say he is expected to be housed at a facility in eastern Pennsylvania that has both a medium security prison and a minimum security prison camp. A New York soccer coach says he's thankful to be alive after having a cardiac event mid-match. Earlier this month, Andrew Filblad's team, the Southern Tier Football Club, was playing a team from Wilson, New York. He says he doubled over on the field. The next thing he knew, he was on the ground. The opposing team's coach, Paul Herman, and other spectators rushed into the high school where they were playing and grabbed an AED. Herman recalls those moments.
I realized real quickly, you know, he's in a really bad place. That's when I was like screaming across to, you know, other people to help me.
This is ABC News.
Brewers in Chicago. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports, where the Brewers begin a three-game series tonight at Wrigley Field against the first-place team, the Chicago Cubs, led by manager Craig Counsell. Although the Brewers were able to slip into second place after beating the Cards 3 out of 4 games, Pat Murphy says there's still room for growth.
We're still young. We're still figuring out. We're not like the Cardinals or the Cubs or the Reds. They got a set kind of 10 or 12 guys they go with. We're still figuring things out. You know, this is a group. They're the right dudes. You know what I mean? And that's why they play to win.
College football, the Badgers excited about 6'1" receiver Zion Legree out of Florida, agreeing to commit to Wisconsin next year. Receivers coach Jordan Reed asked if his guys are anxious to return after going 5-7 last season.
It's a hunger room for that reason alone. Everybody feels they got something to prove. Everybody feels. And really, we're taking it as a room mentality. Like, we got everything to prove this year.
That's the Badgers receivers coach Jordan Reed with sports on Mike Clemens.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Peach Wabba. Lilo and Stitch has finally been dethroned, and there is a new box office champ. How to Train Your Dragon was number one this past weekend with a whopping $83 million. The film brought in another $115 million overseas for a total of about $200 million worldwide. Universal Studios has already given the go-ahead for a live-action sequel. Lilo and Stitch still managed to come in second place in its fourth week with $15.5 million at the gate. So far, PG movies are king this summer as How to Train Your Dragon joins the Minecraft movie and Lilo and Stitch as box office titans. According to Variety, PG movies have generated almost half the box office take for the year to date and crossed over $1.5 billion. Coming in third place was A24's Materialists. The rom-com for adults brought in $12 million, exceeding expectations by a couple mil. And it's all about action for the final two films in the top five, which include Mission Impossible, The Final Reckoning, and John Wick's Ballerina. Dead Reckoning has made over a half a billion worldwide. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Peach Wabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
Partly cloudy with scattered showers and thunderstorms possible. Our high in the low to mid 80s today. More scattered thunderstorms tonight and again tomorrow. Could get some locally heavy rain too, with an inch or more possible with thunderstorms tomorrow into tomorrow night. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Currently it's 69.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Mark Sommerhauser, the communications director for the Wisconsin Policy Forum, analyzing the impacts of the big brutal bill.
That number that you mentioned of nearly $15,000 per person, literally about a quarter of the state's economy.
Basically a quarter of the state's economy coming from the federal government. I'm not hearing from Republicans in the state in their biennial budget planning any sort of contingency plan for major disruption in federal funding coming into the state.
The award-winning Maggie Dawn Show at its new time, weekdays 4 till 6 p.m.
The Todd Allbaugh Show.
Ken, as I like to call him, my least favorite Martin, chairman of the Democratic National Committee.
The other night I said to myself for the first time, I don't know if I want to do this anymore.
Matt Flynn.
You go into combat and the general goes, I'm afraid. He reminds me of the coach of the Jets back in the 90s. The other team would come on the field and say, boy, they look big. No, I swear to God. And the Jets lost 12 games. I mean, right. You can't have this kind of stuff. Get this guy out of here. Put in Ben Wickler.
The Todd Allbaugh Show. Weekdays 2 to 4 on your local Civic Media radio station. And on the app, Todd Allbaugh.
Hey, everybody. Join us next time. We'll be talking with James Small about rural EMS outreach across the state of Wisconsin and also fusion voting. Join us.
The Todd Allbaugh Show, weekdays 2 to 4.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
I mean, is it like the worst thing if I just start dancing on the radio?
Well, I mean, if they tune into the stream, they can see it live, too.
We're grooving tonight. It's a Monday night on Nightlight. I am Pete Schwabe. Welcome back to the show, folks. It is great to have you here tonight on this first warm day, probably since last summer, here in Wisconsin. That's what we do, folks. We live in the cold. And this spring in particular has really sucked. But I see us turning a corner. I'm very excited. I hope you're having a great day, and I'm glad you're here to talk movies and TV and comedy and anything that catches our interest. One of the things I'm very interested in, folks, and I don't talk about it that much on the show, but I feel like it's important to talk about from time to time because you want to live long. You want to live a healthy life so you can watch movies and TV and listen to music into your very high 90s and 100s. And here to help us do that is... my pal, she is a nutritionist and a dietitian, and she is the owner of Wayless MD just outside Milwaukee. She joins us now on the stream, Sherry Stoka. Sherry, welcome back.
Thank you. Thank you so much for inviting me back.
Oh, it's a pleasure. I love this stuff. I could honestly, you know, people do podcasts for like 3 hours. I could just sit here and pepper you with questions all night, but I know you have kids and a family, and I won't do that to you. But I appreciate you giving us a little bit of your Monday night.
Absolutely. I mean, I love talking about it as well, and I'm all about getting information out there because I feel like there's just a lot of misinformation. So anytime we can talk through things, I think it's amazing.
I think it's great, too. Are you – let me ask you something before we jump into the topic of Ozempic, which I find fascinating. Do you find that most people in your field, like they say psychologists or psychiatrists – a lot, and I'm generalizing, but are kind of messed up themselves. Do people in your line of work struggle with this stuff too, and that's why they're passionate about it, or are they like fit from the get-go and just want to help people?
Oh, geez. Yeah, no. I mean, as a nutritionist or dietitian, I mean, the reason why I got into like the more of the integrative medicine, like holistic approach is because I have suffered with gut issues forever. And like, that was like a big thing for me. And I have a lot of my clients are dietitians. So I do feel, I mean, not the majority by any means, but I definitely feel like people, you know, within their profession, they still struggle in various ways.
Yeah. That's interesting. I know last time you were here, you talked about being a college athlete. When did your passion hit, and when did you realize you wanted to make this a career?
Yeah, I knew that like health, like the health and not, we didn't use wellness. We didn't use that term, you know, back in the day, but I knew I wanted to be in healthcare, and I went into healthcare. And probably 10, 15 minutes into healthcare, I felt like things were not what I had planned for, you know, because, you know, I talk a lot about just our system and the conventional medical system, and it's a bit misguided. It's a bit corrupt. And so that's where I feel I'm big into root cause illness. I'm big into root cause disease. Like let's understand the underlying condition so we can fix it rather than a pill for every ailment. Yeah. And so I I did kind of realize that somewhat early on. I mean, because I only spent really like 10 years in the system before I realized that I wanted to do my own thing.
Hmm. Interesting. And what you do is more preventative too. I think it, in some ways it's almost more important. Like I have a great primary care physician who is focused on preventative stuff. And I love finding people like that because I agree with you. It's like, let's throw a pill at it or something after the fact. But if we can prevent this stuff, we're all going to be better off. So let's jump in. Like you called, I wanted to ask you about this because I have more and more friends who are on Ozempic and the commercials are all over the place. You called it GLP-1, which is the technical or clinical term, I guess. What are your overall thoughts? And for those of you who don't know, why don't you just tell us what GLP-1 is for people listening? You'd probably do a much better job with that than me.
Yeah, so GLP-1 stands for glucagon-like peptide. So the medications are agonists. So they're designed to mimic what the body is designed to do when we consume food. So GLP-1 agonists just mean that we're inducing a signaling in the body that really is supposed to happen, but no longer happens. So you're injecting with a peptide. A peptide is essentially a chain of amino acids. So, I mean, we could go down like a zillion rabbit holes, but I do tell people that because I'm against the majority of medications. I speak about it all the time. I think that so many things can be fixed just by tweaking certain things. I do look at these medications a little bit differently because in our state of health, we have diseases of modernity. We have diseases of our environment. You know, the standard American diet is like highly processed. We no longer get real food. Our water is terrible. We drink out of plastic. We're full of microplastics. So we have to adapt to that. And the low grade inflammation that's going on in everyone's body is really prohibiting certain GLP signaling to happen. So in a sense, we call it a medication, but I like peptides because I take various peptides. I think they're super amazing, like more longevity and rejuvenation type of treatments. But we are mimicking what the body essentially is designed to do. And a GLP is designed to help you feel full, right? When you
right.
eat. It's designed to slower, you know, gastric motility. So, you know, you get certain signaling to the brain that signals appetite suppression. But one of the main roles of these medications is to help with insulin secretion. And the majority of people have metabolic dysfunction. So they're insulin resistant. And insulin resistance is the foundational for metabolic dysfunction, meaning we can't clear sugar from our bloodstream very effectively anymore. So these medications come in and now we're able to kind of get the insulin to take the sugar out of the blood, get it into the cell so the body can use it. And now you actually can burn fat because nowadays nobody can really lose weight on their own anymore. It's just completely changed.
That is what fascinates me. My guest is Sherry Stoka. She's the owner of Weightless MD and a dietitian and nutritionist. She's joining us on the stream tonight. Sherry, how do you feel about that? Like I'm kind of on the fence. Like I feel like if people, whatever they have to do to keep the weight off or prevent diabetes or knee replacements or whatever is good, but where should that happen? How much should be exhausted with other preventative measures before they go to something like Ozempic or something else?
Yeah, I mean, so this is the problem because the root cause is standard American diet, mm-hmm. right? That's right. The root cause. The root cause is obesogens, preservatives, dyes, fillers, emulsifiers that are in our food. So it's not as easy is telling someone to just eat healthier.
Right.
You know, we work on the foundational things all the time, but now the conversation with clients is find a farm, find local sources, eat real. We're missing the real food component that's feeding our gut, that's causing normal functioning, normal signaling. And so all of those things are very, very important. And so it will take longer for you to get into a healthier state, and eat healthier, and like all things will eventually happen. It's just now people don't have the patience for it because they get frustrated because they resort to the standard American diet, which unbeknownst to them is not really helping because of everything that's in the food.
Yeah. And that's gotta be where you come in. I mean, any dietitian or nutritionist, like, have you ever encourage someone to go on something like Ozempic, or are you more like, no, we are going to see this through. You're going to lose more weight. You're going to do this the right way. That must be a kind of a weird line for you to walk.
Yeah. Well, I mean, we offer it. I mean, I see 30 people a day on these things because, how I explain these medications is that, they are supporting the process to better health. So if you go on Ozempic, and just to provide context, Ozempic, the generic is semaglutide. So Ozempic or Wegovy is the same exact product. It's just one is approved for diabetes and one is approved for weight loss. It's the same exact thing. So we get our product through a company pharmacy, and it's semaglutide.
Okay.
And so the majority of our patients have major metabolic dysfunction. So this is addressing the root cause with the insulin, you know, the insulin part, the appetite suppression. People immediately say the food noise is gone. It is helping support the process, but we are working on everything else at the same time. So it's kind of like crutches. You think about an injury. Right. If you were to break your leg and you go on a crutch, and the entire time you're on the crutch, you do nothing to improve the healing process, you will always need the crutch. Right. But if you're doing physical therapy, if you're doing the things you're doing, you know, all the things to get you to a healthier state, then you can go off of the crutch and you're fine. So it's kind of like the same exact thing.
So what about the side effects? And I've heard also that I had a friend who was upset because he put all the weight back on pretty quickly. Like, how do you, is there a transition phase or something people can do to help? Because that was a shock to him.
Yeah. Well, unfortunately, the majority of people who are managing people on these injections are not managing them appropriately. So number one, side effects absolutely can happen. I mean, of what they're doing, you know, but it's a titratable medication. So you start someone on a low dose and you titrate, you customize it. But the way that the pharmaceutical industry sets it up is that it's a one size fits all titration. So people are increasing their dose on these medications and they're feeling terrible.
Yeah.
They're having so many medications, but they're like, oh my God, but month three, it said I had to go up to this. So the pen injects, you know, that amount, they're losing weight, they're happy, but it's actually causing more issues because of the trauma that it's causing in the body. Jeez. So the customization and the management is so crucial. But the other piece is that when you are losing a weight, whether it's slow, whether it's fast, whatever it is, you have to know what you're losing.
Let's pick up right there. Okay. We got to do a really short break. This is great. And we're coming right back with Sherry Stoka, and we're talking about Ozempic, folks. It's the big rage right now. We'll jump more into that with Sherry when we come back after this very short break. This is Pete Schwabba and Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network.
As Wisconsin as a fish fry on a Friday night, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
The John and Gordy Show.
Mike McCabe joins us, by the way.
Yes, Mike. You know about the Savannah Bananas.
Yeah.
The announcer calls them the Nanners.
They have all kinds of antics.
They have,
I mean, it's
they have
great.
Bright yellow uniforms.
Yes, they do.
And they do performance dances at home base.
Or
the
in the field.
Players are out there like cheerleaders.
Yeah. And even the umpires get involved.
Yeah, they do.
Weekday mornings, 6 till 8 on 92.7 WMDX and the Civic Media app. Nightlight with Pete Schwalbe.
Todd Michaels joins us now.
I have to give a shout out to Oshkosh. It's a very underrated city.
There was also a restaurant there I really liked. I don't think it's there anymore.
Yeah, the Tally's was great. I may have gone to like a prom dinner there or something like back in my day too, Pete.
A little calzone before you tear it up in the dance floor.
Man, there's nothing better than wearing a tuxedo and a little calzone in your cummerbund.
Nightlight with Pete Schwalbe. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Carmelo Anthony for The Bail Project.
Bad news, you've been arrested. Good news, you're innocent until proven guilty. If you can pay your bail, good news, you go home to wait your trial. If you can't, sorry, you go to jail to wait. But sure, you still presume innocent. But since you can't afford bail, you've lost your freedom. That's not right. And that's why The Bail Project helps those who can't afford it while fighting to end cash bail. Because freedom should be free.
Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Teachers are diverse, skilled leaders, innovating to prepare students for our fast-changing world. Teaching shapes lives. Are you ready? Explore teaching at teach.org, supported by the U.S. Department of Education and 1 million teachers of color.
Missed your favorite show live on air? It's easy to find what you enjoy wherever you listen to podcasts, including Spotify, Apple, and Google Podcasts. And we're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app.
Your local Civic Media radio station is your source for real news and great conversation, plus fun and exciting contests. For a complete list of contest rules, log on wmdxradio.com/contest-terms. This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
Is getting vaccinated on your to-do list? We can help you check that off.
You've got this.
Yes, you do. See how we've got you at yougotthis.usaging.org. A message from the Aging and Disability Vaccination Collaborative, powered by U.S. Aging.
Connecting audiences, powering brands. This is Civic Media. Learn more at civicmedia.us/advertise.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
Hey, welcome back. This is Nightlight. I am Pete Schwalbe. Great to have you with me on this Monday night. We don't like to miss out on texts. And Bud from Janesville, he's in the 608, drives around between 4 a.m. and 6 a.m. I don't want to know what he's doing at those hours. I'm kidding. He's delivering papers. So he often texts us during the rebroadcast, and he says, hey, Pete, this came in, what, Saturday morning, probably, right, Con? After our Friday show, because our question, He says, hey, Pete, I appreciate your perspective on Kendrick Lamar. You made some good points, and since you said you like him more, since the halftime show, I'm going to give a longer listen and see if I come away singing a different tune. Thanks. Well done, Bud. He says, love the show, Bud from Janesville. Again, I'm not the biggest Kendrick fan. I just, oftentimes my kids will explain something to me, like why I should like something. And I'm like, okay, yeah. And I see things through a different perspective. So that's kind of what happened there. But yeah, I think he's kind of cool. We have Sherry Stoka here from Wayless MD. She is answering our questions about health and wellness. And we were talking about Ozempic. Sherry, I asked you what people can do to kind of transition off Ozempic because a lot of people have gained weight back, and you were in the middle of a point before I had to cut to a break.
Yeah. So I was talking about the importance of looking beyond just the weight on the scale, right? Metabolic health is driven by our muscle mass and our lean body tissue. So if you're not approaching weight loss in the correct way, your body will go to muscle. And so this is the problem that the majority of people are facing. They're going on these medications. They're not really changing anything other than they're eating less. And so they're not getting their body into a healthier metabolic state. So then, of course, you know, you can actually lose weight and put yourself in a worse state of health. And for the people that gain weight right away, that's probably what's happening. They probably have lost more muscle mass, and we can't afford really to do that, especially as we age. And yeah. So that's kind of the result.
That's fascinating. I wanted to ask you this too, because I know there are medications for this as well. I had a physical recently, and the only, you know, they test all your blood and all that. And my cholesterol, because of my age, is starting to creep up a little bit, not medication worthy yet. But what would you tell someone who came in? Are there natural or holistic ways to bring down your cholesterol or increase your good cholesterol with just diet and exercise?
See, another rabbit hole. Like, okay. So, first of all, cholesterol, an elevated cholesterol, I mean, and maybe you already know this, but I just want to say it because I feel like this is just more misinformation that's out there. Cholesterol is not from like cholesterol in our food. So I just want to like debunk that. I want to debunk the fact that people say that cholesterol is from saturated or high cholesterol is from saturated fat and, you know, like eggs and things like that. Elevated cholesterol is from some sort of inflammation in the body.
Hmm.
Okay. So, when you go to your doctor and, you know, your cholesterol is getting a little bit above 200 or what have you, which I think, I don't know. Again, I'm trying to not to go down the rabbit hole, but I just try to help people understand like statins are not the answer because it's not addressing the root cause, right? Okay. I mean, so we're trying to get your cholesterol down to a level with a statin that's stopping the production of cholesterol when really the root cause is let's kind of figure out where the inflammation is happening in the body. So usually inflammation is from the standard American diet, and it's usually from sugar. It's not from the fat in your diet. It's usually from, you know, again, eating too much sugar, eating too much breads, carbs, things like that.
Mm.
And so to decrease or help get cholesterol to a correct level, it's usually looking at the diet and looking at like the carbs and the sugar. It's not fixating on like the fats or anything like that.
So does that mean like more of a gluten-free diet would be better to control cholesterol if you didn't have carbs or gluten?
I mean, not necessarily, because there's a million gluten-free products out there that are terrible, you know, and they're still carby. They're just so gluten-free. It would be more like a lower carb diet rather than like gluten free.
Okay.
So eating, you know, lower carb real foods versus, you know, finding a box on the shelf that says, oh, gluten free. Because a lot of people are very tricked by that, and they think, oh, gluten free is healthy and it's low carb. That couldn't be further from the truth.
So if people wanted to come to you on an official basis, Sherry, where can they find more information about you or Weightless MD?
Yeah, well, I mean, they can certainly go to our website at weightlossmd.com. We have a lot of information there. You can set up a free consultation, and you can also call us, and our number is 262-226-2046. I mean, we're on social media just to get a sense of the messaging that I'm putting out there. So multiple ways.
I'm trying to think, can we keep you for a couple minutes after the news?
Of course.
All right. Yes. Let's see. We got about a minute before the news. I'm trying to think what I can ask you. Have there been diet trends? Like, you know, first it was low carb, then it's high protein and all this stuff. What should people avoid? Should they avoid all those altogether and count calories and eat more whole foods? Or has there been a craze that you've kind of been, or a trend where you've kind of been, yeah, that one's okay?
I do like a couple things, but again, it's all about getting the body into a healthier state. Otherwise, none of them will work.
Hmm.
Right. So like I think you had put a couple things out there, like a vegetarian, the keto, intermittent fasting. They're all good short term, and they all have their nuances. I try to get, one of the main things that I do in the most simplistic way is get people to eat whole foods, and you have to go organic. There's controversy with that, but your chances are it's going to be better than the alternative. And to stop eating so frequently, we have to extend the period of time between meals. So intermittent fasting a couple times a week is usually where I will start with people and start from there, and whole foods.
I love that you said that. We can talk more about that too. Sherry Stoka is here from Wayless MD. We're going to do intermission, folks, and she's going to stick around for a couple minutes of Act Two. We're coming right back. This is Pete Schwabe on the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is 92.7 WMDX Columbus, Madison's home for real news and great conversation. A Civic Media station.
ABC News, I'm Chuck Sievertson. Arriving back in Washington, President Trump, because of the Iran-Israel fighting, he left the G7 summit in Canada early, denying the French president's claim of working on a ceasefire. It's much bigger than that, says Mr. Trump. Another incident of Palestinians killed near a food aid center run by the new U.S.-Israeli military group. 51 dead, says the Gaza Health Ministry. Witnesses say Israeli troops opened fire. No comment from the Israeli military, which was asked about it. Investigators in Minnesota say Vance Bolter, accused of killing one Democratic lawmaker and wounding another, had a hit list with dozens of names. ABC's Melissa Adan.
Prosecutors revealed chilling new details of a, quote, targeted political assassination designed to inflict fear, injure, and kill members of the Minnesota legislature and their families.
They're cleaning up in Ohio County, West Virginia, after deadly flooding. At least six people died. This is ABC News.